If you've been following the efforts of conservation groups on the seacoast, PREP's data from the last 3 years are no big surprise. Of 14 indicators of ecosystem health, 6, like nitrogen contamination, oyster and clam populations, and oxygen levels for fish to breathe, have gotten worse. 4, like levels of bacteria, toxic chemicals, and ecosystem-suffocating algae, have improved, and 5 more are unchanged. The scientists working on this report say the situation is pretty much stasis. Take eelgrass, for example, the keystone species of the estuary. Its roots keep sediments from getting stirred up and making the water too cloudy for plants, and it's also a good place for fish to live. PREP's coastal scientist, Philip Trowbridge, says the report, which is backed by a technical advisory board of 31 scientists and environmentalists, shows more of the same for eelgrass.
So the data on this graph indicate a long-term decline in eelgrass since 1996. Due to the variability, even recent gains in eelgrass still indicate an overall declining trend.
But if you've been following the efforts of Great Bay communities to find wiggle room in the EPA mandate for municipalities to spend hundreds of millions of dollars on improved wastewater treatment, you might have heard the opposite conclusion.
The recent data from the Great Bay Estuary shows that there have been significant decreases in nitrogen levels and increases in eelgrass populations in Great Bay and Little Bay during the years 2009 through 2011.
That's Dean Pichel, an environmental consultant working for the city of Dover earlier this year. Dover is one of 5 communities trying to prove that regulators are relying on bad science when setting wastewater permits. But scientist Trowbridge says estuaries are an extremely complicated place, and looking at just 3 years' worth of eelgrass is like trying to tell if the climate is changing by looking at 3 years' worth of temperature. It's not enough to draw conclusions. The data released today is the definitive science on the issue, and all of the luminaries in the water quality world were there for its release in Portsmouth. But even if you accept the science, there's a staggering cost behind fixing this problem. Ben Grumbles is the president of the U.S. Water Alliance, which is working to find and lay out solutions to water quality issues all over the country.
No matter whose numbers you believe, if it's EPA's $300 billion plus needs and wastewater infrastructure over the next 20 years, and their $330 billion needs and drinking water infrastructure over the next several years, or the AWWA national report on $900 billion needed for adapting infrastructure systems in a climate change era. A trillion here, a trillion there, pretty soon you're talking about real money.
And that's what's happening today in the Great Bay watershed. Earlier this week, the Great Bay Municipal Coalition, that's Rochester, Portsmouth, Newmarket, Dover, and Exeter, called together lawmakers from the area to hear about what clean water regulation could cost. John Hall, a lawyer hired by the cities to fight the EPA, says the difference between the most stringent wastewater permits issued by the EPA and a middle-of-the-road permit is about $200 million. Communities say these plants could almost double sewer rates.
And then we'll talk about the regulatory effects of the proposed permit, because I can assure you they are going to be profound.
Hall claims the only way the state can achieve the reductions in pollutants talked about in the EPA water quality permits is to require homeowners to update their individual septic tanks to the tune of $15,000 a family. But according to DES Watershed Director Ted Deers, nobody can say yet if anything of the sort is going to be required. He says before any action is taken, we need a comprehensive study of these non-point source pollutants. Think septic tanks, yard fertilizer, and agricultural runoff.
Then you can start to really hone in on, okay, where's the low-hanging fruit?
But everyone in the water quality world is in agreement. Getting to a cleaner Great Bay is going to cost a lot of money. Ben Grumbles of the U.S. Water Alliance thinks creative solutions are going to be needed to share these costs around.
There are models of success looking at agriculture, atmospheric deposition, bringing the business community to the table so that it doesn't all fall on the shoulders of the ratepayer.
This report is just one piece in what's going to be a long process. The Great Bay municipalities are also calling for a comprehensive peer-reviewed study and say they can delay new treatment plants for years to come. For NHPR News, I'm Sam Evans-Brown.